Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of River City Church in Jacksonville, Florida. Our mission is to awaken people to the transforming presence and power of God's love. To find out more, visit rivercitychurch.com, and thanks for listening.
Merry Christmas. How you doing? I'm excited about Alpha. We are going to be talking more about that as we ramp up in February. I've got some pretty cool stories to share personally about that. But my name's Jared. If you're a guest, I'm a pastor here, and we're so excited that you're here. I see a lot of faces that I do not recognize and many that I do, which is what we were hoping for. So we're glad that you're here. I'm not going to preach for 50 minutes, so don't worry. I'm going to preach for 48, and then I'll get you out of here. No, we're going to make this quick and abbreviated, and we've got something really fun for you at the end. You know, my favorite part of decorating, my wife right here is really good at decorating, Jocelyn, for Christmas. I do one thing every year until about 2 years ago, and that's the nativity scene. And if you're familiar with the nativity scene, if you do that in your home, it looks something like this, all right? The nativity, all right? So my son took it over a couple years ago, and he does a pretty good job. Hudson, you know, there's a few, sometimes the wise men are behind Mary, but, well, you know, to each his own. He's figuring it out. But if you have a nativity scene, you're probably going to have Mary and Joseph, right? Like foundational. You're probably going to have shepherds, right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. You're probably going to have some animals. Probably, I mean, this maybe angels floating, hovering in a scary way like those two, or some sweet angels that are standing so that they can be seen. But you'll probably have some sheep, and you'll probably have a pony, and you'll, you know, maybe the wise men, they rode in like three deep on some camels, right? So you've probably got two or three camels, and then, you know, maybe a cow, something like that. But I've seen a lot of nativity scenes. I've been around a lot of nativity scenes, live nativity scenes. Fake ones, real ones, the one from Home Alone where the little boy is in the nativity scene. Like, I've seen a lot of them, okay? One thing you will never find in a nativity scene is bears. Okay? You'll never find bears in a nativity scene, okay? Stick with me, all right? Now, if bears are in a nativity scene, that would be horrible. Jesus would have to perform his first miracle way too early and save everyone from the bears. Like, they would ruin it, okay? Now, why are bears on my mind on Christmas Eve? You can take that scary picture away. The reason bears are on my mind on Christmas Eve is because my family was in North Carolina last week doing an early Christmas with some extended family, and we had a very strange encounter. So we were leaving the ski slopes, all right, and we were walking to the parking lot, and we had parked in the far lot, but it was still very well lit. There were still a lot of people there. There was no need for any, you know, expecting something to happen, except that you're in the mountains of North Carolina. So as we're walking towards the Jeep, my daughter, Lucy, was the first one to say, "Oh, Dad, there's bears, there's bears, there's bears, there's bears, there's bears." And she turns around and starts running the other way. And I was like, "Oh, Lucy, you probably see a shadow." Sure enough, two bears were crossing the parking lot about 50 yards away. So we're all in our ski boots, holding our poles, you know, doing this thing. So I tell the kids, I've got my two kids and my nephew, and I say, "We're going to double back, and we're going to go back to the tunnel," because there was a tunnel that was like everyone skiing right here, safe in the tunnel, parking lot here, but it was kind of a safe area. And I said, "I'm going to go get the Jeep, and then I'll drive back over here and get you guys," because it was late. It was freezing. It was in the 20s. They were blowing snow. So, I mean, we were just stuck to our faces. I mean, the kids' hands were stinging. We had to get out of there. So I'm thinking to myself, I have to go get my Jeep. Like, there's no option. Like, I can't stay here all night. It's late. This place is going to close. The kids are cold. So I'm walking. I've taken them back, and I'm walking to go get my vehicle. So I do, like, the long look first. Nothing. There's a building. I approach the building. Okay. Nothing. It seems that the two bears are gone. Now, I'm kind of like that midway point of no return. Like, if I turn back, like, they'll get me, you know, from behind. There's no turning my back on the parking lot at this point. So it occurred to me about halfway there, though, around about the point of no return, that, hey, those bears look small. I wonder if those were cubs. To which I then immediately thought about the movie, The Revenant. Okay? Seen The Revenant? You know, if you haven't seen The Revenant, don't watch it. There's a bear scene, okay? Because if you go around cubs and there's a mama bear, you're in trouble, right? So I keep walking alongside the building, and I'm telling you, the coast is clear, but I do see that someone at the restaurant did not follow the rules of the mountains and left garbage outside unprotected. So there was a garbage bag just destroyed all the way across the parking lot. So I'm like, well, that's why they're here, okay? So I take three or four more steps. I get literally to my Jeep. I see nothing, nothing, but I can't see on the other side of the Jeep. And I'm thinking, I guarantee you when I walk around this Jeep, there's going to be a bear, right? There's going to be a bear. So I slowly but surely, or just normal speed in snow boots, right, walk around the Jeep. There she is. From me to this camera guy right here. Who's back there, Amelia? And she does the thing that I've seen them do on the television shows where they give you like that warning and they just go like this. She looked me dead in the eyes and went like this. And I went right. And I started. Now, this would have been the least amount of space that anyone has ever covered trying to get away from the bears because I've still got the ski boots on, right? So I would have made it like 10 feet if she charged and it would have just been sad, okay? But I go, oh no, and I run around to the other side of the Jeep, hit the unlock button, climb into the passenger side, front seat, with my boots on. Have you guys ever been skiing? I mean, the boots are just this big. So I climb up in there, and then I'm crawling across, and I'm over 40, so then my stomach muscle just cramps, and I'm all bent over, and I'm trying to get over the thing, and I finally get my feet under the steering wheel, and then I hit the horn, and the bear just takes off immediately, terrified of the horn, and I thought, Jared, you idiot, you had the panic button the whole time. That would have scared the bear off. So then I go all the way back, get the kids, but I think my brother-in-law is coming. Call my brother-in-law, catch him with the other kids right about the time they're crossing the tunnel. We go get him. He gets in the Jeep. We tell the kids to stay. I drive him all the way back to his vehicle. Sure enough, the bear's already back. So then we circle, blowing the horn, trying to keep this bear away while he loads up and then goes and gets his kids, and we all made it out alive. Thank goodness. And that's why there's no bears in the nativity scene. Now, I was reflecting on that story a lot, how dumb I was for walking up on the bear like that. But I knew that I had this message coming. And I've kept reliving the moment where I was walking around, looking around the corner, and not knowing what to expect. And I thought, you know, after these last 2 years, after these last 18 months, after these last whatever, you fill in the blank with what's going on in your life, I think a lot of us are rolling into 2022, slowly walking around the corner, not exactly knowing what we're going to find on the other side, but expecting the worst, because we've seen the worst happen too many times. Now, maybe that's relationally for you. Maybe that's in your marriage, maybe that's a parenting situation, maybe that's a kid with their parent, maybe that's your career, maybe you're just really terrified about what's going to happen in the world next because everything has felt so out of control and you're just a little shell-shocked and you're walking into next year saying, how in the world is this going to work out? So my job tonight is to say, hey, listen, a child was born a couple of thousand years ago and that matters for the uncertainty and the unrest and the fear that you experience as you look forward. Maybe it's to next year, maybe it's to next week, maybe it's to you don't know what's gonna happen in your life after you leave here tonight, okay? But I actually believe that what happened 2,000 years ago when a baby was born does have implications for what is happening with you right now and the uncertainty that you're experiencing. And I'd like to start by reading a passage here in Isaiah that was written about 200, 300 years before Jesus was born. It's a popular passage. But it was actually prophesying about Jesus. This wasn't after he was born. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now, there's a lot going on there that Jesus is going to be in the lineage of King David, that he's going to sit on his throne. He was in the lineage of King David. He was born in the city of David. There's a lot of cool historical things that came true just that were prophesied about this. But one thing that I want to just hone in on, because I believe this is the part of Advent that's relevant for us this year in this season, and that's peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He'll have an everlasting government, and it'll be a government of peace. Now let's flash forward to when Jesus is actually being announced in real time. This is the angel that shows up to the shepherds. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This was another announcement of peace. He brings peace. But how does that work? How does, like, he brings peace? This is supposed to be true. How does he brings peace work? Because, Jared, I'm experiencing a lot of uncertainty and unrest. I'm anxious. I'm fearful. I'm worrying. I've had a lot of people. I've had an uptick in how many people tell me they worry in the last year or so. So, Jared, what does peace look like practically? So, we know he was born. We know that's what we're here celebrating. I'd like for you guys to give me a little Christmas Eve service leeway. I want to fast forward to something that happened in Jesus' adult life, okay? It's a familiar story, but I want to revisit it. So, this is when Jesus was on a boat and a storm exploded, a squall. He was on the boat with his disciples. They all thought they were going to die, and he was asleep, okay? The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Immediately after this encounter, Jesus goes ashore and encounters a man filled with wicked spirits. He immediately takes authority over the guy and casts them out. Those things happen back to back in the Gospels. And it shows that Jesus has authority over external acts of God type things, circumstances. But it also shows that Jesus has authority over what's going on internally. He can speak peace to a storm outwardly, a literal storm, the weather. But he can also speak peace to an internal storm. He can speak peace to the storm that's raging in your heart, or the fear that's raging in your heart, or the uncertainty that's circulating inside of you. So Jesus brings peace to the external and the internal. But how do we experience this? I want you to look back. If you've been around River City this fall, I know a lot of you haven't and a lot of you have. We've been talking about faith a lot. We just felt like that's where God has had us. He just wanted us to keep beating the drum of faith. And I've read the story a lot of times, but I've never noticed until preparing for this message the correlation between faith and peace. Because these guys are completely flustered, completely freaked out, and Jesus' question to them is, "Where's your faith? Where's your faith?" Jesus' disciples didn't need faith to trust that everything will work out in the end, or what doesn't kill us makes it stronger. Like, those are all good thoughts and good, you know, good sayings. But that's not biblical faith. That's not what Jesus was telling them. Jesus was telling them this, I believe. We'll experience peace in the storm when we place our faith in the one with authority over heaven and earth. Okay, they didn't need to just trust that Jesus could turn the waves off. Does that make sense? They didn't need to just trust that Jesus could turn the waves off. They needed to trust deeper than that, that they were on the boat with someone that could make a new world, someone that could make a new heaven, someone that can make a new earth. We've got some visitors coming in. That's okay. We're excited. Just a few more minutes, guys. So if you want peace, your faith has to grow deeper than Jesus can turn the waves off. It has to become Jesus is making all things new. One more passage, and then we're going to close this out. John 14, 27, Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So Jesus was offering his disciples peace. Like, he's about to leave. He's offering them peace, but he's not removing difficulty. Okay? He says, "My peace I give to you, but I do not give peace to you as the world gives peace." Okay? The world strives to bring reconciliation. The world strives to bring political peace. The world strives to bring a cease of battle. The world strives to bring litigation to an end. The world strives to bring harmony. But all of these things are surface level. Jesus is telling these guys, you're going to experience a lot that's not going to feel peaceful, but I'm going to give you peace from the inside out, not the way that the world gives peace. And then finally this, he offers peace, but we have to receive it in faith. Okay? If you've been distracted for the last 3 minutes, I want you to hear that. That's the whole point of what I'm saying. Listen to me one more time. He offers peace, but you have to receive it in faith. You just wait. The peace is going to show up. It's an act. You say, "Lord, I believe that you are who you say you are. I believe that I'm on the boat with the one that's not just able to turn the waves off. I'm on the boat with the one that's going to make all things new. This is all going to be summed up in him. He's going to be Lord of heaven and earth." When that baby was born, the metaphorical shell cracked, guys, of this earth. It cracked and the light shone through for the first time in a long time. Because he was redeeming this place and making it new. So even though we have the kids in here, this is something that was on my heart to do, and I want to do it. If you're looking at next year and you're like me and you're looking around the Jeep and you're like, "Man, I don't even want to open my eyes," whether that's tomorrow, next year, next week, whatever it is, and you say, "I need faith to believe. I want to receive the peace that he has for me, but I want faith to receive it," I want you to raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you. If that's you, raise your hand right now. Okay, just keep your hand up while I pray. God, I thank you for everyone that raised their hand, everyone that responded to this. And Lord, I pray that this moment will stick with them tonight, and as we roll into the new year and as we roll into the coming days, that they will ask you for faith to believe in the peace that is theirs in you. Give them peace. May they walk in peace. May they pray with faith, not because of how they feel, not because of what circumstances look like, but because they have faith in the one that is on the boat with them, can not only turn the waves off, but can make this world new. Give them faith in you and who you are. And God, I pray that you show up and give them peace and reward them for trusting. In your name we pray all of these things. Amen. All right, I'm going to invite our children's director, Sarah Graves, to come up. And we have something really special for you guys.